Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel, where we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, with an invitation to keep listening to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're facing you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel really is New Covenant. There was an old covenant, and now through Christ's death on the cross, there's a new covenant. And this new covenant is the covenant of grace. It really goes back to the promise that God made to Abraham, that through his seed, the world would be blessed. Well, Jesus Christ is that seed. And how we're blessed is through this new covenant that he ushered in through his death. So really, this is God's will for man. If we want to know what God's will for mankind is, we have to go right to the new covenant. And it's not so much a plan. Richard, don't we think so often in terms of a plan that God has for our lives when we think of God's will?
But that's not what it's about.
Right. No. We want to know what job are we supposed to have, who we're going to marry, where we're going to live. God, just give me those details. Just lay out that plan for me. But really, when we think of God's will, it's more in terms of a legal will, something that we would do to disperse and distribute our assets upon our death. We would go into an attorney's office. We would draw up a will. We would keep that in a safe place, and then upon our death, the attorney would read that and would lay out all the benefits and provisions to those we left our estate to. Well, much is the same for God's will for us. He has a will. It's called the New Covenant. There are provisions there, and that New Covenant went into effect the day Jesus died. That's why that cross is so vitally important. Not only did he take away our sins, but he ushered in a new arrangement as far as our relationship with God the Father is today. Yeah. It's an arrangement based on grace. It's an arrangement based on the achievements of Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection. And if we're going to truly live life to the full, if we're going to experience all that God has for us, then we need to become new covenant believers. We need to let go of the old and grab hold of the new.
That's Basic Gospel, friends, and that's what you hear each day on this broadcast. Thanks for joining us. We'd love for you to really join us and pick up that telephone and pose your question, your Bible question, or your particular issue. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Davis, and again, we welcome you. 1-800-677-9377, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Paul in Johnston, Rhode Island, listening to us on WARV. Hi, Paul.
Hello, guys. My question is on Mark 16, 17, and 18. Chapter 17, it isn't that difficult to interpret, but 18 is a lot more difficult to interpret. What is your take on that?
Well, my take on this particular passage is that these particular signs accompanied basically the apostles as they started spreading the message and going from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the outer ends of the earth, and carried this message of Jesus Christ, the good news. There were signs that accompanied their efforts. And those signs were meant to draw attention to the message. But I think those signs disappeared after the apostles, after the word had spread. There was no further need for them as far as I can see. A couple of things about this particular passage in Mark. If you look in your Bible, you should see some type of note that basically says Mark 16, 9 through 20, is not included in the most reliable manuscripts. It was something that was probably added later. But the earlier manuscripts, those dated much closer to the actual writing of this particular document, those did not include verses 9 through 20 of Mark chapter 16. But even with that said, when you look at it, I think Mark is simply describing what took place with the apostles as they carried the word out to other places in the world.
Okay.
Does that make sense,
Paul?
All right,
thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of open lines, friends. Be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. And Bob and Richard, I think many times listeners are reluctant to call, thinking perhaps that their particular question is very, very unique to them. But, you know, so many times there are hundreds, maybe thousands of others who are listening and who would like to pose that question themselves. And so don't hold on that question. Give us a call. Pose it right now, 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. Very nice note from Julia, who writes to us from Victoria, British Columbia. This came in just today. She says, "Hi, Bob and Richard. God's continued blessings to everyone at Basic Gospel. The kind, caring, loving way you speak with others is an inspiration." Now to her question. She says, in two instances where Jesus is speaking, the last part of John 8:28, and the NIV says, "I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." Then in Mark 15:34, NIV version, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Julia says, "I can't fathom that the Father God would have told Jesus to say this last statement. Otherwise, Jesus would not have felt forsaken. I realize Psalm 22 begins with the exact same words as the second quote. Also, in Matthew 26 in the NIV, it's in the same category. Jesus prays three times, 'Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.'" Julia says, "I'm thinking that Jesus' humanity has to be considered here, but would appreciate your comments."
That's a good question, and I think Julia is spot on as far as her assessment. Jesus was both fully God and fully man, but while he lived here, he put aside his rights as God, basically, and said, "I'm going to live as man." And so he lived in dependence upon his Father, and that's where that statement in John is so vitally important.
Yes.
The things that you hear me say, it's not me saying, it's my Father giving me the words to say. And he has several other passages where he basically says the same thing concerning his works. It's not me doing it, it's God the Father working through me. Now, as far as this this passage in Mark about quoting the 22nd Psalm, you know, it's an interesting passage there, isn't it, Richard?
Wow, yes, it's powerful.
It's very Jesus. Much powerful.
Yeah.
In his humanness, when he took upon sin, he felt like there was a forsaking of himself by God the Father. I think if you look through Psalm 22, you see that expressed, but then as you work your way through that passage, you realize that God truly didn't forsake him, that the veil of sin kind of covered that, but God always attended to his Son, and we see that, you know, in power through the resurrection. But obviously, you know, that came out of his mouth because he knew the word of God. He knew what had been declared beforehand, and he just expressed that because that was the moment that was being fulfilled.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, other than his death itself, that statement, my God, why have you forsaken me, is proof, at least to me, that Jesus took away sin. He became sin for me and suffered the punishment that I deserved. And of course, you know, right after that, he gives the greatest statement of faith ever. Father, here's my spirit.
Right.
Regardless of whether I can sense you or not, here's my spirit.
Into yeah. your hands, I commit my spirit.
Yeah.
And again, Father right there receiving it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and thanks again for joining us. Plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock, Open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Springfield, Mass, and talk with Bob, listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Bob.
Hey, peace and love of Christ be with you guys.
Well, thank you.
I've listened to you over time, and I agree sometimes with you and disagree other times. And last week I missed the call when, first off, I want to say I'd called about being grafted into the vine, but last week you had Joanne, a nice Catholic sister in Christ, who asked about the Blessed Mother, whether you could pray to her. And I think the Bible shows that you can, that Mary was an intercessory at the wedding of Canaan. She interceded for the host of the wedding for the wine. And that the Bible shows that Moses and Elijah, who were dead, came back and prayed with Jesus. So you have people that have passed on that still communicate, and the angels still communicate. So you have Moses and Elijah coming back to pray with Jesus, and you have the Blessed Mother interceding in the wedding of Canaan, and we all believe that there's a cloud of witnesses around us and that we don't die if you believe in Christ, that you still live. So I feel that you can, you know, it's not about flesh and blood, it's about spiritual world around us. So we have demons around us, we have good spirits. You have Paul, who went up to heaven, or maybe not in the body, but he was transferred to heaven. So there's a spiritual realm that you don't seem to talk about or believe, even though the Bible says you.
Well, Bob, I definitely believe in the spiritual realm. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. We're born again spiritually. We have an angelic world. There's a demonic world. The Bible speaks to that. It speaks to that quite often, but it never really says to pray to angels. It never really says to pray to those who have died before you. It says pray to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, no one else. We may can pray to Mary. That's what I told the lady, but Mary doesn't have the power to answer. Mary doesn't have the power to do anything about the your request. Only God the Father does.
Right. She did intercede at the wedding of Canaan, where she had the power to go to her son. And that's what Joanne was saying. Can I just ask Mary to go to her son and petition him for this answer? And in the same sense,
well, I think that's just taking a leap as far as Scripture is concerned. Why build a doctrine on that and to make Mary out to be something that she's not? I mean, she's not co-redeemer. She's not, you know, as some Catholics believe, she's the one that was born by a virgin. Hers was the Immaculate Conception, which then—
I don't believe in that.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that doctrine out there.
I don't believe in that portion, but I do believe that Jesus said to John at the foot of the cross, "This is your mother," and Mary said, "I'll always be blessed." So when we do talk about Mary, we should use the word blessed, because the generation that calls her blessed is her generation, or the Jesus generation. And can you picture John breaking bread with Mary in the rooms with the first apostles of the book of Acts? And she wasn't only the mother of John, she was given to the mother of all the disciples. Don't you think they called her mother too? It wasn't just John. They were brothers in Christ. So his mother is their mother. So there's a reverence that you need, not to worship her, but there's a reverence that the basic fundamentalists don't give her just due. It's the mother of God.
Well, why argue for that? I mean, why make a case?
I love you guys there.
No, I'm not talking about argue in the sense of, you know, we're getting mad at each other, that sort of thing. I'm talking about presenting a case.
What's behind presenting
the case?
Joanne just wanted to know if she could pray or communicate with Mary. And I think the Bible shows with Moses and Elijah, didn't Moses and Elijah come back and pray with Jesus because of the trials he was going to be going through?
Well, Bob, there's a point to that story, And the point to that story is that Moses and Elijah represented kind of the Old Testament. They were bearing witness to Christ. So as Jesus said to his disciples, to the Pharisees, he made it really pointed to the Pharisees, you search the Word of God, you search the Scriptures in hopes that you can find eternal life. But these are the Scriptures that testify about me. So there at that transfiguration, you had God the Father giving testimony about Jesus Christ the Son. And he called up Moses and Elijah because they were the ones that represented all of the Old Testament who were bearing witness to Jesus Christ the Son as well. So you had all of that coming together at that particular point in time to point to Jesus and say, he's the guy. Listen to him.
That's fine. But at the same time, along with all that, you did have people that were dead coming back to life and communicating with people on earth. And that's the point that you want to avoid. It's almost like with the Catholics say, this is my body, this is my blood.
Well, we'll just agree to disagree on that.
Okay. I'll listen to you again. I do enjoy your show.
Well, thanks for your call. Certainly appreciate the conversation, my friend.
God bless.
You too.
Open lines 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Eugene, Oregon, and talk to Andrea. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question. I've already talked to my pastor about this, and he kind of set my mind at ease, but I'm still not. I still have some questions. I'm engaged to be married, and I am African American. My fiance is white. I was at a friend's house a few weeks back. And we were just talking wedding planning, and she started to quote some scripture from the Old Testament for me, and she didn't tell me exactly why and what she was getting at, but then it turned into this whole, you know, it's wrong for you to get married because he's not of the same race. And I, you know, we got into a big argument. I was going, I've never heard anyone, you know, say things like that and try to use the Bible as their reasoning. So I talked to my pastor the next day, and he also quoted some scripture and said that it was absolutely wrong. But my friend had said that, you know, it wasn't her interpretation of the Bible that the pastor doesn't agree with. It was the Bible itself that he doesn't agree with, and that the Holy Spirit put it on her to tell me that it was not right for me to marry my fiance because we are of, you know, mixed races. So what is your take on that?
Well, I think your friend is dead wrong.
Okay.
I wouldn't listen to her for one single second longer. I think what she's touting is nonsense.
Right.
Just sheer unadulterated nonsense. I mean, you look at the Bible, and you have Adam and Eve, and mm-hmm. you have every single person coming from Adam and Eve. There's a mm-hmm. point in time where the corruption of sin has just taken its toll, and God says, I need to do something about this, and he brings a flood, and there's only eight people that are saved. There's Noah, mm-hmm. his wife, and then the three sons. So if you look at the world from that point forward, all of humanity comes from that bloodline, Noah, his wife, through those three sons. Mm-hmm. So what does that make us? That
right.
makes us one single race called the human race.
Right.
Now, within that, there's amazing variety and variation. There's mm-hmm. ethnic groups. And that's where we are today. But there is absolutely nothing in the Bible that would prohibit you from marrying your fiancé or from him marrying you. The only thing the Word of God says concerning marriage, and it even has broader application to other partnerships, is do not be unequally yoked. In other words,
that, you know,
if you're lost
yes.
and he's saved, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. going to cause problems. Or if you're
right.
saved, he's lost, that's
mm-hmm.
going to cause problems. But if the both
you know,
of you are
enough,
in Christ, then move
right.
and you love each other, move forward.
Right. You know, funny enough, that was actually, and I'm not a Bible scholar. I've never claimed to be. I am new in Christ. However, that was one of the scriptures that she actually quoted to me. And I told her, I said, well, I don't know a lot about the Bible, but I know that scripture pertains to, you know, a believer marrying an unbeliever. That has nothing to do with race. And she kept saying, well, the Spirit put this on me to tell you, and, you know, da da da. And I said, well, and my pastor had said, well, you know that she's wrong, first of all. You know, the Spirit wouldn't have given that scripture to her to convince you that it's wrong to marry this man, because if it was wrong and the Spirit honestly, you know, put it on her to tell you that and give you scriptures, the Spirit would have given her the correct scriptures. And so I just wanted to, for some reason, it's still bothering me. I think that the reason why it's bothering me is not because a small part of me thinks that she's right, but more because I've talked to her about what my pastor has said, and I've given her some Bible verses as well, and she still wholeheartedly believes what she's saying. So, and she's definitely
Andrea, there's a lot of people that buy into that mm-hmm. stuff. They, mm-hmm. I forget which of the sons of Noah that they say kind of went off, and that became this race, and then this, mm-hmm. you know, the other son went this way, and that became that
right.
race, and there's all kinds of talk and speculation on that.
Right.
Don't believe it, because the Bible doesn't say those things at all.
Right.
The Bible
okay.
does not teach that. It is, I think, taught out of ignorance. I
right.
really, really do. Yeah. So
I have a second part to that as well. So one of the things that she had said when she was saying that, she said that the only reason she was telling me any of that was because she didn't want to be held accountable when it was time for her, you know, when she passed on from this life, she didn't want to be held accountable because she knew that what I was doing was wrong. And so I think that's part of the reason why I'm still bothered by it, because I feel like, well, now I don't want to be held accountable if I can't convince this woman, you know, that she was
well,
wrong.
You're not going to be okay. held accountable. And, and see, the fact that she says that, she has absolutely mm-hmm. zero understanding of this good news that's available to her in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Jesus is the one that came. He stepped in our place. He died. He took away our sins. He was raised to life so that we could mm-hmm. be made new, so that we could experience new life. And
okay.
to think that you know, you're going to be held accountable because you didn't say something to somebody, and that you're going to stand mm-hmm. judgment for that. Mm-hmm. Boy, what kind of good news is that? That just wipes us all out. That just dooms us all for eternal destruction. So
okay.
I think your friend needs some help. I think your friend needs some real biblical help. And an explanation of what this good news is. And we would love and cherish the opportunity to present her that good news. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. You definitely helped. And with the whole being held accountable, I always thought that, you know, from talking with her, that was the absolute,
yeah.
you know, how exactly it is. And so,
Andrea, let me do this. Let me put you on hold.
You.
We'll send you a resource called The Basic Gospel Journey. And as you start your marriage, I think this will be a good foundation for the two of you. Okay? You hang on, all
Excellent.
Right?
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Andrea. Well, thanks to everybody for being a part of this one. And if you'd like to get a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey, it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You can find the prominent link to make that request and make your gift at basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 to use your debit or credit card. And when you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody. See you then. Bye-bye.